Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 285 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Happy June. How you doing? It's Drew Papsky along with Jeff and Doyle. Another exciting edition of off-season Flyers talk. But we're joined by some very special guests today from the DeVroe Sports Show. If I said that wrong, I'm sure they're going to roast me in a second. We got Pat and Austin. Pat goes by the Gobbler. I'm going to ask him about this in a second. But Austin, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to talk about Flyers and everything else. And I guess we could start. Why are you called the Gobbler? Are you a seasonal sandwich at Wawa? Or are you a turkey?
I'm called the Gobbler. My wife's uncle gave it to me because he knows I can throw down at a buffet, Thanksgiving, you name it, I can throw down. So that's the name. Austin see me in some live events, like I could tear some stuff down. I mean, nice. I could tear down a buffet. I mean, I can make it any. I mean, I could compete. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but Joey Hot Dogs, better look out for himself. So
I'm not gonna lie, I can throw down. When you mention an uncle involved and why they call you a gobbler, I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to go to a bad therapy session real quick. But I'll keep it there. And we got Austin rocking the Mega Man shirt. Like it. Yep. Dig it, man. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So let's get right down to it. So last week we were talking about, the idea of the Flyers making potential trades for defensemen. We talked about guys like Ryan Ellis and Seth Jones. And we also talked about, they explored the sexy option that many people on Flyers, social media, and fans want, is that signing Dougie Hamilton, the often-traveled, offensively-minded defenseman who, people like this. It's a player people like. He's exciting. But I'll put it to you guys. Do you guys see the Flyers as adding this top four defenseman as the number one need? Because a lot of people seem to think so. We were exploring that last week.
I definitely think you definitely need to start with defensemen. You've seen it last year. I mean, granted, without Niskanen being there, it looks like there was a big hole without the leadership being there. Without the defense in front of Carter Hart, Carter Hart did give up some bad goals. Yes, we got all that. But however, he had no defense in front of him. So, I mean, I don't want to turn into, jump shifts here from sport to sport, but this same kind of way of Carson Wentz not having an offensive line from him. So him not having a defense from him really hurt his, hurt his confidence. So, again, defense on this Flyers team is the biggest need to help Proloff along the way, to give him a nice support cast of, have a shutdown D. Obviously, Shane Gostisbehere ain't the guy you're looking for. We all had high hopes for him. There's plenty of other guys that you had high hopes in. This year didn't pan out for a defenseman.
Pat, I like what you said about the Carson Wentz thing. I think I've made that point, or Doyle's made that point, I think, multiple times throughout this year when we started back in the beginning, in January, February. So, yeah, absolutely agree with that. What's up, Austin?
Yeah, I 100% with Pat. They themselves, the defensemen on the Flyers, even said that, losing Niskanen was a bit of a big hit to them because – get the leadership, the ability, and all that kind of stuff, and you can just tell it's lacking big time going into and throughout this entire season. Dougie Hamilton would be a fun guy to bring in, of course. You can never go wrong with a guy like that, like a spark plug type of defenseman. But personally, if I were to go after anybody, it would probably be Seth Jones. He's consistent both ways, and he puts up solid numbers every single season, and just the way he plays is just phenomenal. You love to see it. You love to see that kind of, like, he has the offensive mind, but he's definitely more defensive in the way he plays and his stylization. But just anywhere we can get some sort of production, even if it's not on the stat sheet, I'll take it at this point.
Right. I mean, you weren't really getting much help on defense from Justin Braun, Travis Sanheim, Phil Myers. I mean, yeah, they can hit, sometimes, but they weren't the answer for that defense side of the puck. I mean, it was a bad year for them on the defense side of the puck. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure you guys got two in grocery stores. Like, hey, like, oh, well, it's, everyone was blaming the offense. But when you're averaging, giving up four goals a game and the defense being a big part of the problem, you're not going to win many hockey games with that issue going on. So, yeah, the defense needs to be addressed first thing first.
Yeah, I think the team defense in general, not just even but adding that defender will go a long way, in my opinion. We've talked about this multiple times this season, just like, you know, the team defense was lacking, and that was causing the goal differential to be so lopsided at times. And, like, they didn't just lose 2-1. They lost games like 8-1. They lost games 4-0, 4-1, 5-1. It got away from them a lot of times. And that's a team defensive issue. But I think adding a solid defender in that mix, you're asking Justin Braun to play top line minutes, top four defensive minutes, where he's at towards the end of his career, where he is going to be an effective penalty killing defenseman and a third pairing defenseman that can play extra on certain nights when you need him. And we also hoped that Sanheim and Myers would step up, and that didn't happen. They actually regressed from last season after having a very promising regular season and having a kind of hot and cold bubble experience, but still overall. I was talking to my friend about this the other night. He's like, dude, don't they need a scorer? I'm like, yeah, but like the Flyers have enough people that can score on the team, including their defensemen, that they just need to add a defender to kind of solidify that, you know? Seth Jones, so we'll see.
Yeah. And Drew, you're right. I mean, like it was weird too, because the round robin last year, from the beginning of last year to the round robin, the game, AV's gameplay was, you know, attack, 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 and then when it got to the real playoffs, and this year actually, it looked like they went to rely on Carhartt, bound him out, and then it wasn't working. I mean, the guy was just tired. He was beat. You know, he was getting worn out on. And it just looked like, you know, he was helpless out there all by himself. And you're asking for the same – you're thinking you're going to get the same defense play that you got last year. And you've seen it was just a big hole. Now, maybe it was AV not adjusting to that, and maybe he could have made some kind of adjustments on, you know, moving guys around. But, however, it was just some sloppy, sloppy hockey.
So a lot of I think the defensive miscues this year piled up. There were so many times where players were out of position – whether Ford wasn't covering the back check or covering the slot when they should be coming pinching down, defensemen getting caught behind the net or not picking up the guys in front. Like, how many easy east-west pass tap-ins not even a goal, just, like, chances. Like, I'm not a huge analytics guy, but the heat maps sometimes were absolutely disgusting to look at after a game that kind of told the story. Even though, once again, I don't live and die by that shit. I, like, barely look at it, to be honest with you.
Because I watch the game. I just let my eyeballs tell me the story.
Yeah, but you see it, and you're like, this is kind of the thing that Jeff and Doyle and I are blue in the face talking about, and it's nice to talk about it with two other people who have been through the same traumatic experience. This is almost like a support therapy group. We had to deal with this shit all season. God damn, the pandemic, and you played like shit, Flyers.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, like I was telling Pat after the postseason for us ended last year that just something about the way AV was letting the defense just sort of let Hart hang out to dry, I feel like it broke his confidence. Like there was something that he had during the season last year before play stopped, that once the playoffs went through and all that nonsense happened that it was over, Carter Hart, I feel like, came back different. Like something mentally was just wrong with him this year. And it just showed in like a lot of the ticky tack goals that he was giving up, like a lot of saves that last season during the regular season would have been sure shot stops, and they're just like things that like squeak through, all that kind of stuff. It was just really bad, and I feel like the first thing that we have to start with more than anything is just try and help Carter Hart get his confidence back. Because
I have a question. So I looked at the mock draft earlier today. Why am I getting so many mock drafts saying that they're going to target a center? You know, I mean, I feel like you should be targeting it. I mean, like you said, maybe we'll get somebody on the trade market or the free agency market, but
you can target a defenseman in the entry draft, but they won't see the roster. They won't crack the roster in 3 to 5 years.
The Flyers have drafted a lot of defensemen over the years to restock. This is probably the most Flyers defensive prospects I remember in my lifetime. Not that I was paying attention to the prospect pool in 94, 95 when I started watching and didn't have the internet yet. But I mean, I think that they've been deep, and we got guys like Cam York waiting in the wings. Okay. And like Zamula got a little bit of play time this year, and you've seen Sanheim and Myers. The Flyers are going to go with the best available player. Now you mentioned it, like obviously if you guys, Flyers fans listening to the show probably know the Flyers are picking 13th. They didn't move up or down.
Or they can trade the pick, which I hope they do.
Or they can do that as well, which Doyle, why do you want to trade it? Because of the fact that we don't have any film on any of these guys because it's been a pandemic year? Or package it for to get a sure thing?
Yeah, send it wherever. Send it to Seattle.
Send it to Seattle so we make them take Voracek?
Yeah.
Salary dump?
With a high salary.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, but I don't know about that. For the mock drafts, man, I'm not even paying attention to them. The draft's not till what, July 23rd? We got a little bit of time to then. The Flyers can still package that with a deal. The Flyers have to have their protection list about a week before that for the expansion draft. So, and the expansion draft happens a couple days before that. So there's going to be a lot of movement in the NHL. We saw what Vegas did last time as far as, you know, wheeling and dealing, like holding people hostage at like gunpoint. Like, listen, we don't want to take this player, but we will unless, you know, you want to give me something. Like, they held them out and dumped their lunch money out in front of the locker for some of these teams and still screwed some of them. So I think Seattle's going to take note from that, seeing just how much success Vegas has had. They are a perennial playoff team. It's crazy to think that an expansion team has been a perennial playoff team this early on already after going to the finals that one year. But I don't know. Yeah. I think the 13th overall pick at this point is a crapshoot. The draft's always a crapshoot this year, even more so. And we'll see who they pick. But usually you want to have as many centers as you can in the draft because most of them probably won't make the NHL roster, but you need centers. And sometimes those guys that get drafted as centers don't even play center. They play wing. You know, you never know. We're still waiting to see if certain guys move up. Jeff, you live over there, dude? You good?
Oh, yeah. I've just been waiting to jump in. No, I think one of the other reasons, and nobody mentioned it, was that the Flyers forwards, Coots was hurt. I don't think he ever fully recovered. We found out Hayes had off-season core surgery. Patrick was minus 30 playing sheltered minutes. So, like, everybody who you expected to be good defensively was atrocious. And that really, I mean, on top of the defense losing that vet leadership and, like, Hart losing his confidence for a stretch there, like, everything just kind of compounded on it, and it just made things worse all at once.
Yeah, we talked about this multiple times this year. Like, of all the players in the lineup that didn't regress, it was, like, Drew, JVR. And even though Coots was hurt, he actually still played as well as we hoped. But everyone else kind of regressed. Well, really, usually, and Farabee, obviously. But as far as the veterans,
it was funny that, like, the enemies number one on a lot of people's hit lists as far as players go were the top scoring players on the team.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. Usually JVR was the whipping boy the last couple seasons. Oh, and then he was like, comes out the gate firing. And, like, not even just, like, the goal production. He was just offensively producing, like, chances and putting other teams to sit back in their zone, and I was like, oh my god, I forgot he could do
and
this.
And playing a little defense too, which was very surprising to see.
He played some, it was back checking, and also it was crazy because it's like, what was it, Bill Matt said back in the season, they gave him some line mates.
Yeah.
He wasn't like out there like skating with freaking like nobody.
Nate
like,
Thompson.
Oh. Out there with a couple of stiffs.
Yeah, that's what he was doing before you had Nate Thompson, that Doyle just said. Like, that's like, so I think the overall, just the team defense needs to be upgraded, and I think the easiest way to do that is get a top four. So, Austin, you said Seth Jones is the guy. Now, I want to talk about that because since we did our show last week, we were all kind of like, Jones or Ellis or bust. I mean, really, there's not many other people unless you were to sign a couple other, like, number three or four guys through free agency, like a Dougley Hamilton and somebody else.
Right.
Some people are complaining, though, because Seth Jones apparently had a down year in his analytics or something like that.
A lot of water has been thrown on that suggestion recently.
Yeah, there's some articles and talk on the Flyers' inner space of webs talking about how Seth Jones had a down year analytically, so that's maybe why the Flyers shouldn't go for him, but they'll excuse other players having a down year. It doesn't fit their narrative. I don't understand it. It was a weird year in general, so I feel like this year is a wash, unless, of course, he had this awful year. He didn't have an awful year.
Yeah, the first full season after the pandemic shortened one definitely had a different feel to it in terms of the way play sort of went. Seth Jones statistically was down last year, but I feel like most people were. He played 56 games, 28 total points, and plus minus a bit, minus 18. So, like, it's definitely not very Seth Jones numbers for sure. But, you know, it's one of those things. You know, it's just a blip on the radar of what he's done so far. It's one of those things you can't really let that weigh too heavy on what you want from him and what he's capable of doing. Like I said, I would love Dougie Hamilton. I would love Ellis. I would love anybody to help sort of just solidify the blue line. But I feel like if you're going to go for a guy that can be versatile on both sides, and still, you know, be able to, I feel like you can get him for a cheaper price than most guys. Seth Jones is probably the way to go because Columbus seems like they're selling a lot recently.
Yeah, and also to your point about Dougie Hamilton, though, Seth Jones's numbers, just looking at the division realignment again, just to refresh my memory, they were in a, I mean, the Flyers obviously were in the toughest division, and I will not let anyone convince me otherwise. But looking at the players that the teams they had to play, Columbus came in bottom and then to Discover Central, the Bank of America, now Discover Central. love them. Thanks for my Flyers card. I always try to use that as an in. But, you know, Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Nashville took the top four spot, right? Dallas is only four spots out. Those are all really good hockey teams that have been in the playoff mix the last few seasons, and Columbus finally ran its course with Tortorella, as we knew was going to happen, after somehow miraculously pulling it together last year after losing most of their talent the year before. You have to understand that I would think that would be a showing effect on a player like Jones, who's playing heavy minutes against, and they're playing all these teams over and over and over again. Carolina is like, you know, these teams are the real deal. Like, you're going to play them all the time. And that's another reason why I think the Flyers season should not be overreacted by a lot of people, because we are playing against some of the top teams in the league two or three games series at a time, and it really showed when the Flyers couldn't hang with them once it came to March and the wheels fell off.
Right, and that was the point I was going to make, that, you know, you're going to be playing against Crosby and Ovechkin, you know, a lot this year. So, I mean, you know, you're playing against two of the top elite of the game right now, and it's just like, how do you expect to hang with them? I mean, you know, you see it time and time again, you know, Ovechkin sets up for his sniper shot, where Crosby will go around the net and make his money shot. I mean, these guys we're gonna pound you this year. I mean, you're facing Matt Barzal, you know, again a lot. So I mean, it was like you said, it's just tough to overreact to a 56 game season when we shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, well, there's, like I said, I was looking at some offense set of plays from Kevin Hayes that frustrated me with, like, where instances where he could have had the one on one, the breakaways, and he was stopping, just trying to set up a play, and where the goaltenders are now already expecting you to try and do something fancy, and he catches on, where if you go on a one on one breakaway, there's like that 50-50 chance you're going to, you know, get your money shot in there. So, that to me is a tough thing.
Yeah, so that's why I try to like look at it from a sense of like, all right, we had some guys that were hurt. Couturier got hurt like the second game of the season and never recovered. We had Myers get banged up in the early on, and he never recovered from that. And now the Hayes muscle surgery, he underwent successful. He'll be back in 5 weeks or so. So he'll be good for off-season workouts. But these are all things, like, if there was ever a season for there to be a mulligan, hopefully it's this one. And then next year we can, you know, really make some add some pieces and move forward. That's the hope.
Right, and on top of that, he came down with COVID, a week of that. So, I mean, and then, like, the moves again, them giving Scott Lofton a big bonus this year frustrated me. I don't think he deserved it. I mean, yeah, he had one good hat trick game, and then he had a few games after that, but I don't think he deserves an extension.
Really? You want to keep Lofton? Really?
What's that?
You really don't want to keep Lofton? I mean, I wanted to keep him, but I thought he was just going to get traded because of cap casualty. But, I mean, for what he does on this team, I think that contract was solid, man.
What, you think so?
Yeah, $3 million. He gets a $700K raise, and he's played up and down the lineup at wing, center. He kills penalties. He jumps in on the power play as a backup sometimes. I mean, he's a all three zones player, and he does it all. He's a solid two way center in this league, and he's shown a scoring touch the last couple of years after really struggling to make an impact at the NHL level for a while before getting back. It's a good story, but also, I mean, I think $3 million a year, you could do a lot worse for $3 million, dude. Look at the, although I say this as the Islanders are doing well, what's his name? Who was it playing? Clutterbuck. I mean, Zekas. You could do a lot worse.
Matt Martin.
For a top nine player who can also be, like, if he's your fourth line center, you're fucking solid, you know? Because he needs their insurance policy for Nolan Patrick. What if they move on from Patrick? If Patrick can't play, or Nolan Patrick, they move on from him, if they trade him, you need Lawton to play third line center.
And you know what? Like, I was listening to what's his name, Kimski from the Inquirer, and he made like a solid point. Like, he was your second overall pick. Like, those are the picks like you need a hit on. Like, and he turned out. I mean, I get he has a lot of, you know, some injuries to him, but again, to give you that lackluster production, it's just been like, you throw your hands up in the air, and, you know, it's frustrating with him.
Here comes Jeff. Want to talk about your mom, Patrick, hate, Jeff?
Well, no. I just think that it's time for the Flyers to move on from Nolan Patrick. I don't necessarily think they need to sink any more money into this experiment. Patrick very well may rebound, but I don't think it's going to be with the Flyers.
No. Right. I agree with Jeff.
I'm still holding out a little bit of hope and think guys only making 800-something K. I think he's not going to demand that much of a raise to throw a 2 or 3 year deal at him and see what happens. It's like, hey, dude, show me what you got.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, especially because of the time that he missed. You feel like you should at least get one more season out of him,
yeah,
just to see what you could possibly do before you either try and move him at the deadline or.
Yeah. Now the only way I'm not against moving him though. If they can package him with something and get an immediate need, sure. But just to cut bait, in my opinion, I think is a little hasty because the team sucked this year. There was COVID. He had the migraines. I mean, it's a perfect storm of him not to be successful, and he showed really good glimpses of being successful and being able to, you know, really play an effective two-way game and contribute offensively, and then he would have a concussion.
Oh yeah, no doubt. But like I said, it's one of those things. The time that he missed this past season, give him one more season to see, you know, what he's worth. If anything, if 3 months down the line in the season, you're like, this isn't really working out, Noli, you decide, you know, package him together with something, deadline move, or let him play out the rest of the season with us. And then when the season ends, just mutually part, let him test the market, see where he can go.
What do you think about contract though, Austin? I mean, he's a restricted free agent now. He's going to have to negotiate a deal. He's making approximately $874,000. What do you think?
I mean, if you do decide to go with another contract for him, you know, extend him, I would do 2 or 3 at about maybe 1 3/4, 2 per year. You know, nothing too heavy on the pocket, but also something that's like, hey, look, like we want you to play here, but you also need to actually play and perform.
So and they could do bonuses.
Payday, but it's not going to be anything too egregious because of the fact that, one, financially we're tight, and two, it makes sense for us to do this deal. So that way, if something doesn't really work and we decide to move you, it's not a huge contract that either we have to eat some of or someone else has to take on.
Maybe they could do a contract bonus where you play so many games. We'll do that as like incentive laden deal that won't affect the cap as much. Yeah.
Maybe can I ask you guys a question?
5.
Probably be a good idea too.
Yeah. What's up?
Can I ask you guys? So we talk about this a lot on our show. So what was your take on Carhartt, like, on this year and AV? So, like, what's your confidence level with these two guys moving forward, being part of the future? Like I said, we get it. There was a bad defense, but however, he did give up some soft goals. I mean, where are you with Carhartt, and where are you with AV? As into, you know, maybe he wasn't making the adjustments to move forward. That you could have fixed some holes, but he didn't, or something like that. Where are you guys sit?
I hope Carhartt fired his goalie coach that he used in the offseason last year. But I think towards the end of the season, he kind of showed that he looked more like his old self, that he kind of got his groove back a little bit. So that kind of gave me confidence going into this season. But as far as AV, I don't know. He does like to juggle the lines like a ton, which kind of gets annoying at some points because, especially this year, I guess there's just no chemistry anywhere. And even if there was a little bit, sometimes, you know, you just break up lines. They're paying him way too much money right now, and they're only in this, like, going into what, the third year of like a 5-year deal. So I don't think they're going to fire him really anytime soon. But I have more problems with their special teams coaches than I do with their head coach right now.
Yeah, I think Alain Vigneault is going to be here to stay at least for another year. If the Flyers do awful next year, I think they just firing a coach is an easy fix because you don't have to worry about paying out the rest of the contract against the cap like a player when you just got to move them or like take the buyout money, you know. But I don't see them moving on from AV anytime soon. But I do agree with Doyle. Like Mike Yeo, what's going on? Mike Yeo not as much as Michel Therrien. Because
it's mostly just Michel Therrien. They should
the
move
power
on from
play. because they need to have someone that's going to be like, listen, Drew and Voracek, I understand you guys have been on the power play a lot, but this cross-ice pass shit, every time you do it, you're putting $10 in the kitty jar during practice and during a game. Maybe not 10, maybe 100, maybe $100,000. Make it worth their while. And that way they stop doing it. Or kick them in the nuts every time they do it. That might be actually more helpful. Because hit it where it actually hurts, not their wallet when they're making that much money. Because the special teams, the power play with this much talent should not be this stale. And we've seen it. Simmons is gone. Shen has been gone. Hartnell's been gone. And honestly, the power play hasn't been that effective, like, consistently probably since Hartnell left.
Since they fired Joe Mullen.
Shen took over at that one point to, like, be the Hartnell one-timer. And it was kind of working for a bit. They gave Couturier more offensive responsibility. He took over. But the power play has been consistently inconsistent and consistently dog shit for a long enough time.
Yeah, that's
what I have more trouble with. But I think Vigneault has had the pedigree and the experience enough to show that he can do the job. It's just a matter of maybe fine-tuning the roster and fixing a few things. And also that could be the coaching. But I think down to him, it's fine. And Carter Hart, I'm not worried about Carter Hart. I never was worried about Carter Hart, even when he hit the little, like, I mean, watch, someone that cares enough will go back and find a clip from earlier this season, but they won't because it doesn't exist. I was always like, he'll be fine. And I think I always said that, even in my drunkest and most soberest of days, I said those things.
to circle back to Carter Hart, like Doyle said, he should fire his goalie coach. There was a lot made that he trained with Tristan Jarry in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So, if you watch that Penguin series against the Islanders, Tristan Jarry got destroyed, and he looked terrible. So I think there probably is something to firing that goalie coach or never using that training regimen ever again. Just burn it, get rid of it, start over.
Or even staying as far away from Tristan Jarry as humanly possible.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Hart will bounce back. I don't think he's the problem. I do think they need to. I guess they can't really shake up the lineup until the expansion draft happens. But I think they need to send a better message than trading Michael Roffel.
Yeah, I totally agree with Jeff. You know, it to me, like, you know, the only thing that worries me about AV, and not with just AV himself, is that he is going against, you know, in the East, you're going against Mike Sullivan, Barry Trotz, now Peter Laviolette. I mean, you're going against some top quality head coaches. It's going to be a little bit of a rough road, especially in our division now. Like you said, we are, you know, that's part of the issue. You're playing against some top quality head coaches too, guys that know how to win in this league. So I get it. You know, AV can only deal with the tools that he has, but I mean, this is, you know, you're playing against some, like again, some top quality head coaches.
So speaking of the expansion draft, let's get into that then. Why not? So just to review, or I had to pull up the rules to double check, you know, cause this is a show that, We're journalistic integrity and accuracy above all else. Well, maybe not dick jokes, but close. two options, right? Similar to what we did with Vegas a few years back. They can protect 11 players or they can protect 9 players. Now, if they pick the 11-player option, they can protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen, and obviously a goalie. So 7 forwards, 3 defensemen. And we all know the goalie they're protecting, right? Alex Lyne. Okay, good. Moving on. So for option 2... they can protect 8 skaters total, forwards or defensemen, and 1 goalie. So Alex Lyne and whoever else. I'm kidding, people. Please. People are probably punching their car steering wheel or their cubicle right now. Or you're working from home. Are you kidding? You haven't shrimped to work in almost a year and a half, you lazy bastard. So for forwards or defense, so we have the 7 forwards, 3 defense, or 8 total. I think originally, if you asked me at the start of this season, I would have been like, the Flyers have to do the 8 skater option because they're going to have to protect more defensemen than they want. Yada, yada, yada. However, now I'm not sure. What are you guys' thoughts on this? Before I give you that full question, there are some caveats to this. Claude Drew and Kevin Hayes have to be protected because there are no movement clauses, but I think we all know that. Regardless, the Flyers can protect 6 more skaters or they can protect 5 more forwards and 3 more defensemen with that, if you understand that math. So, I mean, you don't have to give me your whole list, but who do you have as your must-keep and who do you have as, like, I actually don't mind if we dangle them out there.
Well, my must keep is still, you know, a lot of people gave him heat this year. You still got, and obviously you just paid him too with last year too, was Travis Konechny. Mm-hmm. But again, the Voracek, you know, moving on from the core, Voracek would be a nice piece to move on from. I mean, that's where you need to start. You need to show the locker room that you're trying to trend into a different direction. You need to get get younger. I mean, and these guys, you know, who been around, that Drew and Voracek, you know, we've hovered around the 8th seed for so many years now, and consistently in the playoffs. So you need some new leadership on that night. So yeah, he needs to be the first to go.
Well, Voracek,
also, even if Voracek doesn't get picked, it's a statement that they left him exposed.
Yes, yes. Well, so, if you remember too, at the beginning of the year, AV came out and said that he needs to be challenged for his minutes on the ice. Now, I don't know if that ever came to fruition, but I mean, still to send that message to the guy.
He did. Voracek actually started back checking towards the end of the season and actually played a little angry. And I was like, oh shit, where's this been the last 5 years?
Yeah, yeah. You remember when he snapped out on the media this past year?
Yeah.
But I saw him back checking and I was like, back check Voracek? What? Like, who is this guy? And I think, regardless, even if you think he may still be a part of the future of this franchise, he might be. That amount of money, if you just, you're daring Vegas, or not Vegas, you're daring Seattle to take that. That's 8.25 mil. Go ahead. Take it.
Yeah.
We dare you. Now, the other hard question is, considering other big contracts, James Van Riemsdyk, he makes $7 million per. He will have 2 years left on his contract after this year. Do you dangle him out there just to like say, hey, if you take it, you take it? Because he's a player I think that Seattle actually would be interested in, just based on my gut feeling and nothing else, because I'm not a professional hockey scout. But $7 million off the books would be helpful if the Flyers were to land a top four defenseman, another scorer, or would you protect JVR? I think at this point, he's a veteran. Do you really have to protect him? Do you want to protect more of your younger guys? I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I'd dangle both Voracek and Van Riemsdyk out there, basically show the roster, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been here, you know, how long you've played in the league, if you're not producing the way you're expected to within the team, anything can happen. Just to let some of the younger guys know that, like, that are coming in thinking they have a bit of an easy road because they finally made it to the NHL. Like, there's no off days. You can't come out and like half skate like Voracek did in the playoffs last year, like skating like your legs are made of cement. Like, you can't half-ass anything here.
Yeah.
You need to be come in, do your job, make the team better, and if not, we're either going to send you down or you're going to go somewhere else. And I feel like putting a guy who showed that he can perform the way he's supposed to on this team in a Van Riemsdyk kind of guy is definitely that kind of, like, look, he did great, but just know that, like, you know, nobody is truly safe if this is going to be a change, like, yeah, the core leadership of this team.
Yeah, I think, and like you're just kind of going with Jeff said, it sends a message.
And yeah,
it tells people, like, well, you know,
and then also, like, if, I mean, Chuck Fletcher wasn't the GM that did it, but the Flyers sat on Wayne Simmonds for much longer than they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And when they traded him, they got pennies on the dollar in return. So, like, I don't want everybody to be so caught up in JVR's scoring this year, because that's, looking back at it with his time as the Flyers, like, that's the anomaly. So, like, I don't know if he's going to keep that trend up, and he's only getting older and he's reaching that power forward cliff. And, like, maybe you sell while his value's high instead of, like, trying to trade shitty knees Shane Gostisbehere for this cavalcade of picks you expect to get for a guy that everybody says no one wants, but he's worth so much, you know?
So I think the other obvious person people were picked, we're going to keep, are Provorov and Couturier. We have to protect them, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm building this list right now as we're talking here. So Coots is added to the list.
Yes.
So if we go with the 7-forward scheme, you have 4 forwards left to protect and 2 defensemen left. If you go with the other 8 overall skaters, you have 4 players left in general. Now, is Konechny on this list? I think, is everyone in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he would be. And now my other question is, this is one that I think is a little interesting. What about Lawton? You just extended to him, so you probably protect him, I would think.
I would think
that's a player Seattle, I think, would want. Lawton would be a good player to have and fill out your roster, who's cheap.
Yeah, like you said, it depends what you get in return. If you get, you know, a bang for your buck, you would have to consider it. Even though you just paid the guy, but I mean, if you can.
But no, I'm saying, but like, nice. If you expose them, then you're not getting anything. You're just going to let you sign them just to sign them, and like, it's taking up a spot. That's what I mean. So I guess Lawton would be on that. So if we have Lawton, TK, Coots, Hayes, and Giroux as forwards, we have 2 forward spots left.
Yeah.
Or we have 2 player spots left. Now, let's take a step back and look at the defense for a second.
There's really only 2 options.
Myers, Sanheim, Morin, Hag. I mean, I think Myers or Sanheim are the guys you want to protect from D, right?
Probably, yeah. Or even Myers and Haig, because Haig gives you a good defensive edge.
Okay. What do you guys think?
Myers? Yeah, Myers, I'm going to say both with Olsen. Yep.
Myers and Sanheim. So if we did Myers and Sanheim for defense, that means we have two forwards left. Or if you do the eight skaters, you have Myers and Sanheim for the last two, which would be all eight protected. Everyone else is up for grabs here. But just for sake of argument, if we went with the seven forwards and the three defensemen, if you guys are sticking with me listening to this, there are other players on this team that you would have to consider protecting. Nolan Patrick would be one of them, right? He's played enough games, I believe.
If I were to do the forwards and defensemen, the last two forwards I would protect Farabee and Lindblom.
Farabee and Lindblom? Yeah. I was going to bring them up, but yeah.
As much as I like Nolan Patrick, I would dangle him out there just because of the fact that Farabee was off the charts.
Does Farabee need to be protected, though?
Farabee's
inside of the amount of games.
He's a second year pro.
I don't know if you can protect Patrick because of his he'll be an RFA.
Yeah.
So like I don't know if he's necessary to be protected because he doesn't have a contract.
Yeah. So Lindblom would be
unless
protected.
The Flyers were to sign him. But
and then you expose JBR, you expose Voracek. So now here's what the Flyers can do. If they don't really care about protecting one more forward, I mean, they could, or they could just do the eight total skaters and not protect Myers and Sanheim. But I think what they're going to probably wind up doing is Myers and Sanheim have way more trade value, so I think you almost just protect someone like, I don't know, who else could they protect? Looking at forwards, they don't have to protect Obe Kubel yet. He's still within a two-year window.
Yeah.
Do you protect Farabee? They have so many young guys that, like, I think don't qualify.
Yeah.
So do they just go with, like, all right, we'll just throw an extra protect? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Or they just protect JBR and let Voracek dangle and just do that. I mean, that's also possible.
Yeah, that's probably what they'll end up doing.
The Flyers have to have this list in right before the actual expansion draft, which will be, I think my date I have here is the original date was July 17th. The list is due, so we have about a month and change to get that point. But I'm just interested for argument's sake to think about, like, who they might put together. It seems we're all kind of in agreement, but who knows what can actually happen. I mean, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Flyers standout fourth-line player that everyone loved, got picked up by Vegas, and everyone was all upset about it, and I was like, why?
For me personally, seeing Belmar leave like that was kind of rough. I liked how he played.
Yeah, but people were acting like we lost like a franchise cornerstone. I was like, we can replace him.
It's a fourth line grinder, but there was just something about what Belmar did that just seemed different.
Yeah. Well, that's how I felt when they got rid of Tyler Pitlick, my boy.
Yeah.
I wanted to piece on him.
Yeah, I think that's what they definitely need to add some faster and physical players.
If they had Pitlick on this team this year, I feel like they would have been better. But, you know, I knew it was going to be because of roster and contracts and all that stuff. They weren't going to be able to do it, which is fine, but still. So,
well, it was supposed to be Obe Kubel, and then all he did all season was take penalties. So,
true.
You know.
Yeah, I've had enough of him.
I really liked his game for a while there, but even me, who was a fan of him, start towards the end, I was like, come on, dude, how many more like dumb tripping or high sticking penalties, or what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, he was supposed to be the replacement to Pitlick, and then his like this season was just terrible for him.
Yeah,
not a great, not a great thing for your sizzle reel when you're taking penalties every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to look up Farabee's games real quick because now I'm looking at the actual what their requirements for. So apparently, to double check, so they appeared less than two seasons, two or less professional seasons. He's only done two, right?
Yeah, so he should be fine.
But everyone else, okay, yeah, that has to be it because he's only played in two seasons. He came in halfway through last year. Okay, never mind. Because there's other minimum exposure requirements where two forwards have to be played in so many games. Like, so basically, like they don't want you just to expose people that are like on the injured reserve list or always hurt and not going to play. I guess that's what it was. All right, I misread that.
I think Frost should be okay too.
Yeah, Frost will definitely be okay because he played in like a couple games a year before, and he played in a few games. Two games this year and got hurt. One game.
Yeah, he got two before his shoulder exploded.
Yeah, I think it was like one or two.
Second year pro.
He got two.
Yeah, so I think we'll be good with that as far as the protection lists go. But I wouldn't be surprised just because they're protected. Don't be surprised if you don't. I wouldn't be surprised if like either Konechny, Myers, Sanheim are thrown in a package deal and traded somewhere. If the Flyers are doing something like that, I think the, Fletcher has a hard job to figure out like if it's time to move on and make some moves because we've accumulated enough where it's like, all right, well, you can accumulate all these players, but you got to have the right fit. And obviously the right fit wasn't there this season. And yeah. That became very apparent. And it wasn't just because Niskanen left. There's a lot of other things that came to the surface once Niskanen was gone. And the Flyers to figure it out and navigate that through all the cap hell that they're going to be dealing with all these players. But, yeah. So we put our expansion list together. We're sticking to it. And I'm sure that'll change, like, once between now and then for when we talk about it, because we're going to be talking about this list for the next month or so. But it's a long off season, man. It's rough to get to it, though. But yeah, do you guys got anything else before we wrap this one up? I really don't have anything else for it. I mean, I feel like this is we did it today.
Well,
give me other questions.
No, I mean,
for
like
us?
I said, now let me ask you. We have all often have this conversation too. What is Drew to you? Where is he on your list? Your all time list and all that stuff.
Claude Giroux is one of my favorite Flyers of all time, so I'm going to be extremely biased towards this, and I have made it almost a pet project of mine since I started this as a blog back in 2009, before he even really was a big part of the team, up until, yeah, I started it the year, the season before they went to the Cup final, so I talked about the emergence of Giroux on that blog. I did it for a couple of years. I stopped doing it, mm-hmm. brought this back a few years, 6 years back or whatever, and I've made it, there's hours of me defending him. On here, mostly Jeff and Doyle agree with me on a lot of my points about defending Drew. I know Doyle more so than Jeff, but I don't know where Jeff stands on anything sometimes.
No, Claude Giroux. Yeah,
Jeff's very
so,
wishy-washy.
Yeah, I change opinions as necessary. Claude Giroux was the only bright spot in a morass of crap for most of the tens.
They never gave anyone to play with them. They never gave anyone to pass the puck to. And they did. It was Jágr, and he did a great year.
In the year that he should have won the Hart Trophy after he put up, like, it was 102 points, the only reason Taylor Hall won it was because he drug the Devils out of the basement into the playoffs. So
Giroux had this team making the playoffs and being a first-round exit for so many years. He put the team on his back in the second half, like, every time.
It was true, like, to what, 2012 through, like, maybe a few years ago, it was a one- or two-line team. And that's, like, they just shut down Giroux. And then you had guys like Chris Vandevelde who were like, well, I don't know what offense is, so we're just going to lose.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, obviously, and people will say, well, Crosby, like, blah, 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 and I'm like, I totally get that. I'm not saying Giroux is better than Crosby, but the Penguins also had a lot more talent on their rosters and have had a lot
Crosby's
more talent
been
on their
given
rosters.
Tools.
They had two Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, and Crosby, and also, three, I mean, if you count Fleury, they had a future Hall of Fame goaltender for all of Crosby's career with the most of the cups in Pittsburgh up until recently. And
I mean, was it 2017-18? We ran through like eight goaltenders within a year because I was pretty sure they were going through Gritty and joined the pipes.
So when it comes to Giroux, I think a lot of people get caught up because having a C on your jersey town.
There goes that world famous conversation.
In a town that, you know, will just the best player in the city is the backup quarterback or goalie or the person that hasn't been given the spotlight, and it's exhausting. But I'm gonna carry that torch until he retires as a Flyer or somebody else.
Yeah, there is.
And look at Austin's got his Flyers 28 shirt to pull up for us because he won't let us know.
Well, as he rubs the man hammers.
Yeah,
I always support G.
Yes.
Well, also to kind of put it in perspective, remember when the Flyers traded for Valtteri Filppula and everybody was like, oh, finally, the Flyers have a second line center that can play, like, take some of the heat off Giroux. And then the Penguins were like, oh, it'll just be Crosby and Malkin again. And then maybe Jordan Staal or maybe anybody else they pluck from obscurity in the draft.
Wait, Jeff,
and ends up being this amazing player.
Who do they want to
player.
Play a second line center? Who are you talking about?
Valtteri Filppula.
Just play the drop, Drew.
Haven't done that in years. Sorry, I had to do it. I had to.
But yeah, like Flyers fans were getting excited over Val Filppula, and then the Penguins are just like, oh, what's that like? Because we've had Crosby and Malkin this entire time.
Yeah. They were like, oh,
Filppula.
Life is here.
Yeah, not only Filppula was playing second line center, which was way above his abilities.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I remember going to the Wells Fargo Center for that game. Like the people behind me were talking about it. I was like, "Oh my gosh, we just got him from Detroit." I'm like, "And like, and what's that mean? Like, oh, he's one of the best players." Blah blah blah. Calm down. Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes a little bit.
He was old enough by that point, but he went to the Islanders the year after and played great because he had more team around him. He had less responsibility.
Yeah, he's playing like third and fourth line center, which is where he should have been playing.
But the Flyers didn't have enough centers.
Yeah. Well, once Sean Couturier got his knee blown up by his own teammate, it was over.
Radko. Yeah.
I remember we got Gudas. Everyone was like, we got a defenseman that can crush people.
Yeah.
Penalties.
Gudas was decent in his time here, but once again, he was also a kid. He was a guy that was on a team that had no other defenseman that really could. Yeah. They were asking him to outplay his ability as well. They're having him play second pairing a lot, and I'm like, he should be a third pairing guy.
Yeah, I mean, shit, like that was a team that we had brought back RJ Umberger on.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I took my wife to her first Flyers game back in 2016. We played the Sabres, beat them 5-1. RJ Umberger's first goal of the season. It was mid February.
I remember that. Yeah, that was our first season covering the team. That was our first season covering the team. I remember we had a big celebration and played music on the show that week. Like RJ Umberger scored.
Yeah,
I was at that game.
Yeah, my wife. Wow. And I, we were up in the upper bowl. I just remember end of the third period, Gudas just destroyed somebody at center ice, and then immediately had to drop gloves.
Yeah,
but it was like you got a blowout, you got somebody scoring their first goal after like the entire season, and you got a fight. So like you got everything you wanted out of
it. It was dark times back then. I mean, the Flyers did make the playoffs that season, though. Oddly enough, first round exit against the Capitals, where Neuvirth stood on his head for a game. I mean, like, so you have to. So when I bring up those memories, not just to show off how good my memory is, you got to keep that in perspective when evaluating Giroux. Even at this point, I know he's not done yet, but those things happened, and he was the only reason we made the playoffs. Sometimes,
yeah, that Washington series was like
he put the team on his back this season on a couple games and helped us win. He willed us in games this year as a supposed off the past 30-year-old cliff and out of the prime of his career, can't play center, can't win faceoffs, can't do all the shit he's still doing. He played so much center this year, we thought he'd never play center again. I mean, I think that the Claude. I mean, I always hear the Claude Giroux shit and. Oh, he's not a real leader because he doesn't yell like Simmons did. Or he's not a real leader because he doesn't do this and that. He's not a real leader because he's not Bob Clark. I saw some asshole say that because he didn't win a cup, Giroux's not a real leader. And I'm like, if that's the case, and Eric Lindros was a bad captain, so is Eric Desjardins. Like, and all these other players that wore the C. Primo was a great captain, in my opinion. And there's so many. Pronger was good. Richards was a good captain. Shit, Richards was a. Minus the Dry Island shit, I thought Richards was a good captain when he was here.
I mean, all those guys, well, didn't they all win? Primo might not have, but they all won cups somewhere else.
Yeah, but not as captains, though. Not all of them.
Well, yeah, not as. Well, that's what I mean. No, like, Pronger. Oh, no, Scott Niedermeyer was the captain of the Ducks.
He was the A. I mean, you can't. That's what I'm saying. People like look at that like, oh, they put so much thing on the captain. Like, it's so stupid. It's a C. It's a tradition at this point.
Yeah, I think even Richards himself, I think it was him that was doing an interview on some podcast recently that said, like, people put way too much weight in that letter.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's silly.
It makes no sense. You're putting too much burden on one person to carry an entire roster when there's a ton of other players around him that can also help this roster succeed.
Yeah.
To put it all on one, it's basically like almost like if the Sixers lose this series and you try and blame Joel Embiid for us losing the series, like it wasn't just him. You know, there's four other guys starting around him.
Blame Ben Simmons.
But
his lack of a jump shot.
Yeah, like there's going to be something. Whenever, especially with Philly, like I've noticed not a lot of other cities do this. If a Philly team loses, they blame either the best player on the team, the leader of the team, or the coach, and that's it.
It's big sports media on the East Coast. Boston, New York, and Philly all do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird when you guys were just saying, like, someone needs to be a whipping boy on somebody's team. Like, Austin was just saying, if we fail this series with the Sixers, it's going to be Ben's fault. If the Flyers fail some way, somehow, it's Giroux's fault, and Couturier could have the worst game of his life, but it's still going to be Giroux's fault. Like, there's some guys who get the pass.
Or Carter Hart's fault. people start jumping ship on Carter Hart, like, oh, see, we never have a good goalie. The curse of Pelly continues.
Yes,
I'm like,
yes.
Guys, we're playing in a pandemic short and pandemic bullshit season. The kid's young. Could you guys take a step back and just, like, breathe and, like, you know, tell your kids you love them? Like, just relax.
We have a guy on our show. We call him the King of Swag. But anyway, his name's Mark Gordon, and he's another one. I mean, he is on Carter Hart's back, like, hard. I mean, this guy calls him Mr. Salty, the ice cream truck, can't stop a call, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this dude lays into him. And it's just like you were just saying, it's his second year.
Send him over to our show, please. I don't need my blood pressure to go back up. I get triggered by that shit.
Oh my gosh, it's just, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, we can't find a goaltender. Like, you know, the panic button just comes out and starts getting pressed immediately after one bad game or a few bad games. But like I said, you get him a defense in front of him, we got a different tune. So that's, like I said, I'm hoping for the best for, you know, the upcoming season for next year.
Yeah. So. Good then, man. Well, before we wrap up, then before I give you guys a chance to plug your stuff, since I don't know if we're gonna have you guys on again anytime soon before all this draft stuff happens in the coming weeks, my question is for each of you: what is your one thing you want to see next season? Whether it's an off-season deal or acquisition or a player's emergence or something, what are you hoping? If you had to pick one thing, if you had a wish that you'd know would come true in the hardest of your heart of hearts, what do you guys think would be your thing that you're like, know what, I want the Flyers to do this, or I want this player to be able to have this success, or what do you see is going to happen?
I just want Carter Hart bounce back.
Okay.
Because
everything
starts flowing between the pipes, everything out from there starts to come together. So if you can at least get that, I feel like you'll be fine.
Yeah.
My two takeaways from this year, I like, Austin, you guys were just touching on, I need Carter Hart to bounce back, and you just send Voracek out of here. You're this way. You're sending that message to that locker room. Listen, you didn't play well. I got to ship you out. This way, you know, hey, listen, anybody could get their walking paper. So if he's out of here, you know, that makes Drew look over. Well, not so far Drew, but that's anybody else. Look over your shoulder because you're, you know, your name's got Velcro in your locker. So I can peel it off and put someone else's name there. So, again, I need him out of here. I need Carter Hart to bounce back, and that's my only two wishes.
Okay, I'll take it. So hopefully, you know, the Flyers can somehow figure out a way to put it together next season. We do have the off season. We put together our expansion draft list today, which was, you know, I think good. We'll be referring to this list throughout, and then I'm sure as the wind blows, Jeff will say, "Take that player off next week when he's a little more awake." And,
opinion will change as necessary.
Yes, as needed. Oh, the ratings are down this week, Jeff. You got to do something crazy.
Exactly.
Goddamn, like CNN and Fox News.
I feel like
Warburg
me and Jeff have a lot in common over here.
I like the way.
Sometimes you just need to say what gets Drew angry because that gives you the best content.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, one week, Drew is a Hall of Famer. Drew needs to be fired. That's me. That's, you know, there's no even keel.
Get all the time.
What were you saying, Austin? I mean, so you were cutting off. What'd you say?
I was saying Pat knows what that's all about. We got people that get under his skin all the time.
Yeah, it makes for a good time, I guess, for people. But I hate it. You know, just why can't everyone just be diplomatic and analytical from both points and be a Libra like myself? Why can't they just do those things? Okay, my zodiac sign explains everything. I'm into that now. Heard chicks dig it.
I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm just like woo. All the time.
I don't even know what that means, but I believe you. All right, so guys, tell everyone where they can listen to your guys' show. You guys do a Philly 4x4 show. Tell them a little bit about it, where they can find you, and time's yours.
So listen, you can listen to DevRow Sports on Sunday mornings. We run three shows once a month. We run our DevRow Sports 4x4 shows on Sundays and once every weekend day, and then we have Refs and Bisons. We have a pro wrestling show that goes along with us once a month every Saturday. So we have that going on for us. We have, like I said, great four group of guys. We actually talk UFC. We pretty much touch on everything as far as union soccer. I mean, we break down pretty much everything. I mean, and like I said, Austin's just one of those key guys that really knows his hockey. He really. My man Brendan Healy does a great job of doing that, even though he's a Devils fan. So please forgive me. But the guy, they really know their hockey.
Awesome, man. And Austin, you have anything to plug, or is that you just riding along with that?
Just doing the thing with Pat. On the side, I do some video game stuff on YouTube and Twitch. Twitch, you can find me on there, twitch.tv/Hambo26. Play a little bit of everything, you know, Battle Royales, Call of Duty, Rainbow Six Siege. Just pretty much anything that, like, I'm just feeling at the time, I'll just throw it on and go for it. Aside from that, I have a YouTube channel with a few friends of mine. Pretty much the same style stuff, playing video games, talking about video games and stuff. It's called Hawk Walk Studios. You can search that up on YouTube, throw a subscribe on there, drop a couple of likes and whatnot. Quality content. If I'm going to plug one video that we've done on there that I always suggest, we played a game called 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures. It's an almost hour-long video. 25 minutes of it is me making someone's life absolute hell on what we thought was the final hole. Turned out there was a back nine. So,
yeah, and so like I said, we started with four guys. We're up to 30. Austin's one of my captains. You can see why, because he's more intelligent than I am. So like I said, we got all that going for us. So like I said, we have a lot going on over here at DevRo Sports. But yeah, you guys want to talk hockey, we'll come on and talk hockey. We got plenty of guys who want to talk hockey. We'll keep Mark Gordon away from here because I'm afraid you still drop the gloves on air, so we don't need that to happen.
That's all right. So, I have no problem dropping the gloves.
Need to get the elbow pad off, too.
Hey, I had to break up a men's league roller hockey fight this morning, so I'm all down for whatever we got to do to, you know, get some viewership up in here. But, guys, Pat and Austin, thank you guys so much for joining us. Guys,
Brush
Street Boy Podcast, thanks for listening. Enjoy your week of June and like all the summer fun you're going to have, and we'll catch you next week. Go Flyers.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.